Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. You see, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and is brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I mean, can you tell that I am ready? This is an exciting day. I am, like, pumped up. We're going to be talking about so much exciting stuff that, you know, it's going to take a while to just come off of this podcast. I mean, like, we're talking about the end of world discussion. I don't want to say theology. I was going to say end of world theology, but then, you know, that's the whole eschatological debate of whether, yeah, we're not going to get into theology, but we're going to talk about the end of the world because this coming Sunday happens to be the Sunday of Advent in the Armenian Church, where we talk about the coming, the second coming of Christ. But even more than that, I have so much information about, like, you know, well, you know, obviously we had an earthquake in Chile, and that can't mean that the poor people over there need help. It must mean that Jesus is coming. I mean, you know what we talk about sometimes about Jesus coming? And what is this? Like, let's destroy the whole world because Jesus is coming? Well, I guess that's what Now, Father Vazquez, that's what the Book of Revelation says. Aren't you reading the Book of Revelations? You know, they're talking about, like, meteors and... Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Susie. Susie's saying, like, the screen is, like, lighting up. We've got people listening all over the place now. All of a sudden, we're talking about the end of time, and all of a sudden, our ratings are just shooting up. This is just a podcast. I know, tongue-in-cheek. Yes, we don't have a live audience. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, so thank you all. Thank you, Ken, for bringing in that audience. Yes, all of a sudden we talk about the end of the world and everyone gets excited about it. Are we being silly right now? Of course we are. But that's how silly all of this garbage is that they keep throwing out at us. Do you know that it's been for 2,000 years people have been trying to pump us with this kind of garbage? Trying to get us to believe that the end of time is coming and is right around the corner? Well, just listen up. We're going to be discussing end of world discussions, buzz, and yes, I use that word, garbage, that they pump into us. Well, you'll get it in a few minutes. I've got some sound clips I'm going to share with you as well. So we should have some fun with that too, because we're going to be taking actually a very serious look at the end of the world through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. And you'll be surprised where Armedoxy points us. This is stuff you will not hear anywhere else. I guarantee you. You will not hear this discussion anywhere else. We're going to be looking through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, Armedoxy, at the big picture of where Christ wants us to be, how he wants us positioned, not only at the end of the world, but positioned every day every single day. What's that Boy Scout motto? Be ready. Always ready. Yes. Mishpat Rast. I remember that from the old Boy Scouts hominemen days. Anyway, I am digressing, as I usually do when I get pumped up and excited. Pumped up and excited, got an interesting call this morning from one of our listeners. She was following up on some email sent to me, and we did get quite a bit of email. Well, quite a bit in the usual sense. There is always a group of people that are interested in this discussion about women in the church. And I want to share with you one particular email in a few minutes, and also point you to her blog, because I think it is really interesting. So you may want to get, actually, I'm just going to say you want to get a piece of paper and pencil, but man, that is like so last century. Like, we will put a link on our website for that, won't we, Susie? Yes. Susie, you're great. Hey, listen, we've got Ani in the studio today. She's just taking a break right now in between finals and all of her school stuff. She's looking at me and smiling. I don't know why she's smiling. It could be that I shaved off my beard. I wasn't going to say that. This is podcast still, right? Nobody's looking at me. I did shave off my beard because I want to start brand new, a new lease on life, get some new whiskers going. So anyway, Ani's looking at me laughing, but she's here with her bubbles, and we've got a great, great show for you today. So let's kick it off as we always do with a song of the day. Hope you enjoy this one. Put us in the mood.
Tzava bayitz nore ora im neora yev hui se nora yes I'd come napso sush haskatsa u yer par matneris veradartsa ins getashemin him ganzarani դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին հառած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Ինչ եմ ես գործրել, ինչ եմ ես փնտրել, ինչ եմ ես գտել, ինչ եմ ես ստացել, ոսկի արծաթ և խանգարված քուն, Վերջում փոշի ու տափակ քարի բեկոր, Սա է այն ամենը, ինչ կգտնեն իմ տեղը, Ինձնից հետո եկող ճամփորդները Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած Ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած Ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Երկար ճանապարհներից օգնած Ես պարկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին
It's about time we heard from Gore. It's been a while, hasn't it? That, of course, the unmistakable sound of Gor Mkhitaryan from his Spirit album, and that particular song called Or, The Day. Appropriate for today, since we're going to be looking at, well, end days, the end of time, so to speak, as we take this space-time discussion, metaphysical discussion, into the next level. We kick it off with a song by Gor Mkhitaryan, and that song is available on the Spirit album, which is available through An Issues Ministry. I will not translate the words for you. You got to get the album. It's in the liner notes. Just a beautiful, beautiful song, as well as the other 10 songs that are on that album, all spiritually based. Came out last year as part of a collective project we did with the artist Gor Mkhitaryan, and still available. Available just about any place good music is sold, but definitely through In Issues. You make a donation in Issues, we'll be happy to send you a copy of that. Just let us know. And it is a blessing, especially during this Easter time, to get that. Well, before we get on with our show, let me share with you. We got quite a bit of response about the women in the Armenian church that we presented last time. And also some discussion about, well, are we ready for a revolution, a reformation? And definitely, you know, there's so much going on, especially when I read some of the stuff on the internet about where the Armenian church is headed. Somebody, one of our listeners, Michael Dwyer in San Francisco, pointed me to an article that appeared on the Etchmiadzin website, and it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I want to thank him, as well as all of you who send me different links from here and there. But it was specifically about one of the Armenian priests that was working in India and working with AIDS patients and AIDS victims, shall we call them. And it really showed where the Armenian church is headed. And definitely very, very encouraging, something that we should not only be proud of, but continue our prayers for that church. Alongside of that, of course, we see so many articles on the internet. And, you know, this is not only a question of the Armenian church. It's basically a lot of traditional churches. The other day I heard somebody talking, and it struck a nerve with me, too. It struck actually a chord with me, I should say. I was in harmony with it, not just a nerve. Nerve that it upset me of where we're at. But this lady was talking about prayer and how simple prayer should be, and she said, you don't speak Elizabethan English every day. Why do you all of a sudden decide to speak Elizabethan English when you pray to God? And certainly there is a case to be made. We talk normally, we talk slang, we talk expressions, but when it comes to God, it is thy will be done, thy name is hallowed. You know, there's something to be said about being able to feel comfortable with our Father. In our divine liturgy, there is one beautiful prayer that is said just before the Our Father. It is said, unfortunately, silently by the priest. He reads it and he says, Lord, we thank you because to our predecessors you were known as God and Lord. But to us, you allowed us to dare to call you Father, our Father. Incredible, because really when you think about it for a moment, that is really the shift made by Jesus Christ. No longer are we in this relationship of Lord and God, but of Father. That Lord and God is this compassionate, caring, loving Father who not only creates us and not only sets us in motion, but is with us every step of the way, not abandoning us and saying, let's, you know, let him go and see what happens over there, but actually walking with us. And that is what a father does. And God gives us that example in the way he stays with us every step of the way. It becomes an example for earthly fatherhood. And by looking at our earthly fathers, we understand better what the idea of our heavenly Father is all about. I mean, like, if our earthly fathers take care of our needs here, how much more this unbridled love that we call God will take care of us? And so this is a beautiful thing. We have this relationship. And so many times in church, we fail to understand that relationship, and we compartmentalize, we alienate God. We take him farther and farther away by the language we use, by the rituals that we use. And as we pointed out last week, there is definitely a very big gender gap when it comes to serving our church, and therefore in when it comes to approaching God. Basically, we are cutting off half of a population because of their gender. And of course, I'm talking in the context of a conference I had gone to, and I want to mention it because they just put the entire conference up online. And I definitely encourage you to go to the website, and at least you could participate in this discussion, and definitely watch these videos, because the entire conference is online. It's at bellarmine.lmu.edu. /ecumenical/hes2010.htm, and obviously we'll put this link on our website, so in the show notes you can click on it and go right there. Watch the conference. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to go through, but you'll be in the discussion, in the loop of what we were talking about last week. And definitely listen to the speaker who spoke. I believe it was on the first day, second session, because there, this is really what got this whole thing moving for me. She made a point. She said that in 1988, she referred to a pan-Orthodox decision. Unanimously made decision. Pan-Orthodox means all the Orthodox hierarchs, heads, the representatives of all the Orthodox churches got together. Unanimously, they decreed and they made this decision that the diaconate should be reinstated for women. That is, we should have women deacons serving our church. She also referenced an incident in 1995 where His Holiness Bartholomew, the Patriarch of Constantinople, now you got to remember that he is first among equals, among all the Orthodox churches, he is basically the first among equals, the head of the Orthodox Church, we can say very plainly in just straight language. In 1995, he referred to the 1988 decision and put his stamp, he validated it, and he said, yes, we need to do this. We need to take this step. And so I threw out just a very basic question. I mean, I just don't understand. We're 20 years away from 1988. We're 22 years away from it, from a decision that was made, pan-Orthodox, unanimous decision, and we're still sitting around debating it or talking about it. Should it be done? Not done. The head of the Orthodox Church puts his seal on it and says, let's have it. And yet, to date, we don't have women deacons. What's the problem? I mean, why was it okay during apostolic times? Why was there Phoebe? But today, 2,000 years later, we can't have them? I mean, even the discussions that they were having, I mean, watch the video, because it's beyond belief. I mean, they're still talking about menstruation cycles as being the problem of why women can't be up at the altar. I mean, it's bizarre. It's just bizarre. It goes back to, you know, why can't we say your will be done? Why does it have to come down to thy will be done? Are we as Christians somehow isolated from the rest of the world? So anyway, I get off on my tangents because, as you know, this has been, a pet project for me. I hate to say it that way, but it is a project. It's a pet project because we haven't had enough people to really move it from a project level to a real concern where we're really active and really pushing it. And going to this conference at least made me believe that it's not just a problem in the Armenian church. It's endemic throughout the entire church, that because that there is such a lackadaisical attitude about issues of faith and person. And I got the most beautiful letter from one of our listeners. Her name is Janine Shamshoyan Economides. I hope I said that right. She writes, and she makes some references to specific people, to churches. What I'm going to do is I'll just make it very generic and read it to you. I just finished listening to your podcast for today. I am also interested in this movement about the diaconate. It really hit me recently. There is a man who goes to our church. He's Irish Catholic by birth, but goes to Orthodox churches. He started at the Greek Orthodox Church, where he was able to serve on the altar and now works at the church. He has said that he has always had an interest in Armenian Orthodoxy because of neighbors he has had as a kid. After attending the church a lot, the priest at the Armenian church allowed him to serve at the altar at least one Sunday. While I'm happy for him, if this is truly what God wants for him, it struck me. I'm born and baptized Armenian Orthodox Christian, but I could never be allowed on that altar. Or at least, so we have been told. In the Episcopal church near me, a few blocks down the street, I participate a lot. I am in their book club and help them, and I love that they have Vesper services each night. They have lay readers, and so I get to read once in a while at their evening services. I am invited for Sundays too, the Epistle and the Old Testament reading. In our church, impossible. Besides, I unfortunately don't speak much Armenian, then again, neither does this man, except what he has learned recently. I am interested in this issue, and she signs it with much gratitude. Now, the reason why I'm using this one email, because I think it echoes the sentiments of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. At least in my life, I know hundreds of people that I've spoken to that have told me that they feel excluded. If not for the language, definitely because of their gender, because of their abilities. We basically are in this position of keeping people out of the faith. Rather than inviting, rather than allowing people to participate, we are excluding them. And if you look at all successful churches, whether Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, doesn't matter, the success of the church will be in its ability to get people to participate. In fact, Jesus was never a loner. When you look at over and over and over again at all of the miracles that he performs, there is seldom a case where he doesn't go up to the person. I think I could only remember that one incident when it comes up to Jairus, as the Roman official who wanted his servant to be healed, and Jesus orders that healing from a distance. But it was a case of bringing to play or into focus the idea of faith. In all other incidences, he goes up to the person, he touches them, he allows them to participate in the divinity, to participate in the miracle. And we have a miracle that takes place every Sunday. It is called the Divine Liturgy, the preparation of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the salvation of the soul. You cannot afford to isolate anybody. You cannot afford to keep somebody out. It is there for everyone to participate. In fact, arguably, I will even go out to this level and push it to this level. That is what the good news is. That is what the good news is that the kingdom of God is accessible to everyone. As St. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus broke down the barriers. He says, you're all my children. In fact, what did we just say a few minutes ago? He allowed us to call our heavenly God Father. I mean, no more inaccessibility, completely, total accessibility. What was the word Obama used? Transparency. Always, you could just be connected. And this is the beauty of it. So I thank Janine for giving us this little email, because I want to use it as a platform, really, to get this discussion moving. I did receive a few others. I appreciate those emails. I'm hoping that we could get some interest going in not only getting women back involved in the service, in a ministry in the church, but also to talk about some serious issues about getting people participating in God's kingdom. Now, that being said, with Janine's email, I stumbled upon a very, very beautiful gift, I want to say, a very important gift, and I want you to stumble on it as well, because at the bottom of her email, she had a link to her daily blog. Oh, this was major surprise. I didn't know this existed, and I want to just share it with all of our listeners and invite you to go there. It is called the Daily Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S .blogspot.com. And Janine writes this daily blog. Just incredible stuff. It is deep. It is profound. It is inspiring. And definitely something that you need to read. I mean, especially Next Step listeners. I know the quality of letters that I get from you. I know the type of people that you are. You will love this. DailyExegesis.blogspot.com, and Susie will definitely put a link on our website so that you can, on the show notes, so that you could just click and look and read. But why I'm saying this is really, here's the power. I think this is the new direction of our church, really, is that we have now no more geographic boundaries. We are able to not only network, connect with one another, but we are now seeing the ability to work together through blogs, through podcasts, through emails, through all kinds of technology. We are able to communicate with one another and really make the kingdom of God a real kingdom in the lives of ourselves. In other words, we can have full participation through this technology. If you think about it for a moment, I'm just going to play with your heads for a few minutes, but think about it. Through technology, there is no gender, is there? There is no physical deformities. There is no handicaps. Shall we call it that? Challenges. Really, through technology, we can really hit that church that I think God intends us to hit, the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, I'm going way beyond myself because I wanted this to just be a little catalyst for the discussion. And thank you, Janine. I definitely know you've done that by this little email. And you could sense my excitement because, you know, we've been working at this for the past 25 years since we started the same.org days back in Cupertino. It's been for this purpose that we exploited technology so that we can get it all together. We can bring together different people from different sides. So I hope you'll join in the discussion and share with me your ideas and feedback. And I'm sure Susie will be working hard, as she always does, not only in the idea department, but actually putting it into motion so that we can have a discussion online via the internet, maybe get together a Skype conversation. This could be really exciting. So let's do it, okay? Let's do it. Let's get involved in this kind of discussion. This is exciting. And this will definitely go a lot of places for the kingdom of God. Now, did you think, Janine, that that little comment you made about the Irish Catholic went unnoticed? Of course, like a day after St. Paddy's Day, and I'm not going to refer to it. You know, it was funny because last night we went to a Lenten vigil out at St. James near Inglewood Airport in the Los Angeles area. And en route, I'd taken my mom with me, and she asked me, she said, So, what are you going to speak about today? I said, Mom, I didn't realize I was going to speak today. And she said, you're going to have to give some kind of a sermon. You're the guest. And I thought we were going to service. I didn't think that I was going to be called up to speak. So I said, I don't know, Mom, it's St. Patrick's Day today. And she says, you can't speak about St. Patrick's. St. Patrick was an Armenian. And just enough that she told me that, I knew I had to make the Armenian connection with that. And certainly, you got to remember, St. Patrick was a saint of the Christian church in the early centuries. Now, in that time, it wasn't big ecumenical. It wasn't a pope that made a saint a saint. It was more the saints were local people. You know, if a local community, a local church canonized them, they would be saints of that area, and saints certainly of the universal church, because the time of St. Patrick, we were one. There was only one universal Catholic apostolic church as it is today. We pronounce that in our Nicene Creed, but in reality, the church hadn't divided, hadn't had its ecumenical council breakup in the third, and Chalcedon hadn't happened, and of course, the big split between the East and the West in the 10th century, 11th century. So St. Patrick was pre-churches, one church, and basically he is a saint of the Christian church. So why not talk about him? But he also happens to be a national saint, right? He is the patron saint of Ireland, of the Irish Catholics venerate him. In a unique way. And I say this because Armenians do have their own saints that not all nations recognize, or at least are not cognizant of it. And so we had some fun with that too. But I got to tell you, you know, the bigger fun that we're having is these daily podcasts, because every single day we're getting an opportunity to really talk about some very deep, deep spiritual concerns. And I say this because yesterday, of course, it was St. Patrick's Day, and we didn't have a chance to mention that on the daily podcast, on the daily Lenten journey, as we call it. But those of you who were a little bit more astute and awake noticed that I selected a St. Patrick's prayer, which I thought was beautiful. And had it not been for that daily podcast, you know, which happened to be on Wednesday, I probably never would have discovered it. Because in our Orthodox Church, Wednesday and Fridays are not saints' days. So it wouldn't have happened that March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, would have been remembered on a Wednesday. So somehow it all came together. And I mention this because, you know, I want to bring your attention to the Lenten Journey, which is now our daily podcast. We never thought that, well, we never thought Next Step would reach to the popularity it has today. We definitely did not think that a small 5 to 10 minute meditational that we're throwing out every day would get the kind of following and popularity. But you know what? I'm encouraged because I know God is working with us every single day. Your responses, your encouragement, your prayers keeps us going. And I think this is exciting. We're really, really at a new stage in church life with new media. We are using new media, exploiting the technology that is in our hands and available to us. And why not? Isn't that what this is all about? Hey, the harpist is ready, and that tells me that Ani is tired of looking at my bald face. She's ready with her bubbles. She is certainly a young lady who doesn't need a special invitation to the altar of the next step. She has been here all along and ready to take us with a bubble for today.
Seeing Jesus, today's spiritual bubble. It was a cold Sunday morning when members started arriving at church. The snowflakes had just fallen, and people were rushing to get inside, to the warmth, to the dry sanctuary. As the members were walking in, they were astonished to see a homeless person laying on the sidewalk by the door. He was bent over, all covered up with an old black trench coat that had many holes in it. His shoes had holes in it, and you could see his socks, filthy from months of grime on them. The man had a black hat on that covered his face. His hands were filthy with dirt, probably from digging in garbage cans, some thought. As the members made their way into the sanctuary, they were all discussing how this horrible, filthy man had the nerve to sleep in their church doors. Finally, the pianist started playing, and the members sat down in their seats. They were all looking around, wondering where their pastor could be. You could hear people whispering, saying, "Pastor Joe is probably telling that homeless man he needs to leave the property," and, "What would visitors think if they see him?" All of a sudden, you could hear a gasp. The homeless man was walking down the middle of the church aisle. He made his way to the front and then to the platform. When the homeless man got to the microphone, he said, "Good morning, how are you all?" The homeless man was their pastor. Not a word was said. No one moved around. Even the pianist stopped playing. Then the pastor said, "Did any of you see Jesus outside this morning? He was cold, he was dirty, and his clothes were filthy. But none of you asked him into his house." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven. Thank you.
wanted to give a little extra time for that to sink into all of us. How beautiful. Thank you, Ani, and God bless you. I know you're off to your finals. God be with you. Do well. You always inspire us. These are just so beautiful. And in a few moments, I think all of you, the listeners, will really appreciate the story even more, because it really falls right into the next portion about the second coming of Christ. And as I said earlier, that's where I want to go with today's podcast for a variety of reasons. One of which, obviously, is that this sixth Sunday of Lent is called the Sunday of Advent. It points our attention to the second coming of Christ. And definitely, this is not a topic that we shy away from. This is a topic we discuss in the Nicene Creed. We say he is to come with the same body to judge the living and the dead, and whose kingdom there is no end. We definitely believe in the second coming of Christ. Now, how do we interpret that? How do we understand that second coming of Christ? It becomes the discussion today because another incident happened. This is completely secular. I used to subscribe to the Dish Network. This is a TV station. This is a means of getting TV into your house, television into your house. This is this big dish they put on. Anyway, I was tired of the service, just lousy, crummy service. And I called them up and I said, you know, get this out of here. I'm no longer a subscriber. So for some reason, they left the actual box in the house. But I guess from their switching station back at the main company, they had turned off our service. Well, what's interesting, if you ever do this, if you ever cancel with Dish, they leave you with just the infomercials. So out of the 200 TV stations that we had when we were paying for this service, maybe about 100 of them are infomercial stations. It's interesting. Very interesting. Never reflected on this. So there's like only the infomercial channels remain. So I'm going through them and, you know, they're selling from dicers to slicers and hair restoration products and all kinds of things. There are two channels devoted to religion, and it's these televangelists. And it occurred to me that, yes, they belong in the infomercials. Interestingly enough, now I'm not making a judgment call on them. Check it out. Dish Network keeps the infomercial channels, and these two religion channels are, well, they're counted in with the infomercials. They're selling religion. They're selling religion, and that's what they're doing. So I get on this one channel, and I couldn't believe it. First of all, the guy that was talking was Jim Baker. I remember him from back in the 1980s. He was taken to prison. He was doing some fraud and stuff like that and getting money. And here's what caught my attention, and that he's back on, and he's got a new wife next to him, and they're talking basically the same kind of stuff they were talking back in the 80s, and they've got a following. I mean, even if they're not in the studio, you've got to figure they're making some money because they're on the air, right? So what is he selling? Well, they show like a place where Jesus is going to come back. They show pictures of Chile, the earthquake that took place, and somehow they're explaining that this is when Jesus comes back, these things are going to happen. Now, what are they selling? You got to listen to this. You're not going to believe me when I tell you. They're telling you, be prepared. Be prepared for the second coming of Christ. How? Listen to this.
The world is about to change forever. The book of Revelations is coming to life as the signs foretold in Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3. They're happening today. Earthquakes, tsunamis, and other natural disasters are wreaking havoc all across the globe. Lawlessness is on the rise. Many cry out for help and hear no answer. This is only the beginning. The church must be a lighthouse unto the world, and that means you. In the time of trouble, you must be prepared not only for yourself and your family, but also to your neighborhood, church family, and to those that are in need. Join the Food of the Month Club today and begin your storehouse of buckets filled with freeze-dried food. Inside each one of these buckets are foil pouches that contains 5 servings of freeze-dried food. The food in these pouches have a shelf life of 20 years and can last even longer when stored under the right conditions. To prepare this food, all you have to do is add water and bring to a boil. In a time of crisis, these food packets can be used to barter for supplies such as clothing, car repairs, gas for your car, anything else that money will buy. Food will become scarce in any crisis and will be more valuable than money. This food will feed you and your loved ones during any catastrophic event, such as earthquakes, harsh weather, and financial collapse. For a love gift of $100 plus $15 shipping per month,
okay, this is not Saturday Night Live. This is not something on the Comedy Channel, folks. This is real. There are people who are buying this shipping.
Jim and Lori will send you a 200-serving food bucket each month. For a monthly love gift of $200 plus $20 shipping, we will send you the Granddaddy Bucket, our largest bucket that contains 275 servings of food. Right now, as the Haiti relief effort moves forward, every time you order one of these food buckets, we will send a water filtration bottle to be distributed to Haiti earthquake survivors. Call now, toll free.
Okay, let's cut it right there. I don't want to give out their numbers. I don't want to give them any publicity. But do you get what I'm saying over here? I mean, it sounds like a joke, doesn't it? It sounds like something you'd hear a skit on Saturday Night Live. But it's for real. And even more tragic is the number of people that are tuning into these things and buying this stuff. In other words, he's telling you that you can be prepared for Jesus' return because it's going to be so awful, but you can be prepared by giving them a love gift and you're going to get a little bit of food in these buckets. So while the rest of humanity suffers, you can kick back and you can eat and you can be well. Wow, that really sounds Christian to me. That really sounds like something that Jesus would be doing, right? Obviously, this is not even Christian. In fact, it insults anybody with a little bit of intelligence that you would believe that something like this, forget about Christian, is even religion, is even operating under the guise of religion. I mean, this should really alarm all of us. Can you imagine the suffering of other people making us comfortable? And what was it? On top of the love gift that we give, what did he say? We're going to help. Listen to how they strategically place that. We're going to give a water filtration system to somebody in Haiti. You know what a water filtration system is? It's a small little jar with charcoal in it. Go to your barbecue pit, take out a few coals, put it inside of a small jar, run some water through it. You have now filtered your water. That's what they're going to give to the people in Haiti. And meanwhile, you sit back and you enjoy this bucket of 20 years supply of food. What did he say? Or no, excuse me, it lasts for 20 years. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Is this, do you really believe this is what Jesus wanted us to do? In fact, the message of Jesus is so pure, so based on love, that it is really insulting to even put these people in the same category as a Christian church. But let me give you the Armenian Orthodox, and this is complete. I want to preface this by saying Armodoxy, because it is a very refreshing new look at what I believe is the answer to the second coming. This Sunday is the Sunday of Advent. We focus on the second coming of Christ. And certainly in the aforementioned chapters, even in this little infomercial, they mention a few chapters where we're going to see famine, we're going to see earthquakes, and all kinds of signs of the times. Now, earthquakes. Yes, we heard about what happened in Chile. We heard about Haiti just a couple months ago. It certainly does sound like, you know, there's a lot of earthquakes going on. But believe it or not, every day the earth rumbles. Believe it or not, somewhere on this globe, there is an earthquake every single day. In fact, this is true fact, most of the earth is made up of water. A lot of these earthquakes, a lot of these plates shift that are underwater. So you don't feel them. Not everybody feels all of these earthquakes, but you go into any one of the websites like Caltech and everything, they could tell you there's earthquakes happening all the time. There are famines. There have been famines from the beginning of time. Does that mean the end of the time is near? Does that mean the world is going to end? You know what? Whose business is that? Let me ask you that. Well, if I can't answer that, you can't answer that. Certainly Scripture answers that. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in no uncertain terms. He says that day, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only God the Father. Interesting. Only God knows. Not these televangelists, not these people who buy infomercials, not the greatest of these so-called preachers. The only person who knows is God the Father. In fact, even more, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. In the most beautiful, I think probably an expression and lesson, the lesson on faith, it comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, in the most beautiful expression of this faith, and the loss of anxiety. You know, when you lose anxiety, when you lose your fear, what happens? Your faith grows. You want to have faith? Drop the fear. You want to believe? Drop the fear, the anxiety. Well, it works the other way around too. If you have faith, if you have belief in God, trust in God, you will not have the fear. You will not have the anxiety. Now, I want to ask you, you just heard these people talking. Does that sound like a message of belief, of faith? Or is it based on fear? Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, consider the lilies of the field that are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the oven. They're finished. And how God takes care of them. He says, even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not attired like one of these. He says, take a look at the sparrows, at the birds of the air. They fly. They do not reap. They do not sow. They don't care about tomorrow. They enjoy the day. And God takes care of them. God provides food for them. How much more are you worth as his children? He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Now here's the clincher. He says, set your mind on God's kingdom and everything else will follow. Everything else will come into play. And perhaps this is the greatest way that you can be prepared for Jesus' second coming. You know how? The Armodoxy way. You want to be prepared for Jesus' second coming? Believe what he said at his first coming. Accept the teachings of his first coming, which are very plain and simple. Love one another. Faith in God. The kingdom is right now. The kingdom is enacted and you are invited. You are part of that. You see, that's how simple it is. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Are these signs of the times, the earth shifting, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, global warming, the stars and the sun, are these the end times? They very well may be. But you know what? No worry in the world, no preparation in the world is going to change that. What Jesus tells us is follow me today. I've got a message for you that will never let you down. You don't need to be worrying about that. You don't need to be reading Revelation. I'll tell you, you know, part of Armodoxy is also the history of the Armenian people. I had people in my family who went through genocide. I mean, we lose faith at the drop of a hat. People who went through genocide, there is absolutely nobody in the world who would ever, ever blame them for losing one bit of faith. And yet they didn't. I have people in my family who never read a word out of Revelation nor out of the Bible, but their faith was so solid. They were the ones who kept that faith in Christ, not only in my family, but kept it alive in the churches that they established, in the diasporas, in the communities they brought together. Christ being alive today, not something in the far distant, but right now. You want to be prepared for the second coming. Accept what he said during the first coming. Love one another. Practice those acts of love. And he will never let you down. The heathens, he tells us, worry about those things. And so the second coming of Christ in the Armenian church is approached this way. And interestingly enough, the gospel message for this Sunday is not about the signs of the time. Now, you know, every Sunday there is a gospel passage that is read during the divine liturgy. It is called the lexicon. The lexicon gives us the direction. What is that Sunday's message? So you would expect on a Sunday of Advent, Sunday of the Second Coming, a message about the end times, right? What is the message? What is the gospel passage for this Sunday? It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. The Pharisees, thinking that they will trick Jesus, ask him a very simple question. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Thinking that maybe Jesus will pick out a commandment like, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Instead, Jesus says, the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, even for Jesus, it's very clear. You want to be prepared for the second coming? It's real easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Help, care, reach out to one another. Because in the end time, Jesus describes it. The last day he describes, not with earthquakes, not with these so-called signs of the times, but he describes it as a judgment. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne of heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put his sheep on the right hand, and the king will say to those on the right, come, you who were blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, what's he basing that on? How many buckets of food you're able to collect? How many infomercials? How many televangelists you support? How much you store in your storehouses? No. Quite the opposite. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in and need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Best way to be prepared for the second coming? Believe and live what he taught us at the first coming. Well, it has been a wonderful pleasure to be with you today. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we've enjoyed putting it together. It's certainly a nice way to go out for this Lenten season. We've got one more week in this Lenten period, and then we get ready for Holy Week. I'm pleased to tell you that our Lenten podcasts have really taken off, and we've just made executive decision that we are going to continue it into Holy Week, so you're going to get a Holy Week podcast coming out too. If you haven't gone online and checked that out, and if you haven't subscribed to that, please do. It's at epostle.net/Lent. And, you know, just float around. There's all kinds of stuff going on, but I'm really excited about that. Looking forward to spending the Holy Days with you, and of course, Holy Week with you as we approach Easter. A lot of good things coming up. Please join us at epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast. You'll find ways to feedback, get involved, and just become part of this growing community. And of course, inissues.org, where you can find all of our activities and everything that's going on, all the wonderful things that we're trying to reach out to the least of Christ's brothers. And upcoming is our famine, big event coming up, a lot of things to do. So please join us at our website, and I always look forward to hearing from you. So for the wonderful staff, I think today we went quite a ways, right? We did. There was a lot of meat today. I know we're in the middle of Lent, but we had a lot of meat on the plate today. And it was an enjoyable one. So for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take...
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.